Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
It's all about the dollars and cents, especially now in Major League Baseball, as another work stoppage is happening. Buster Olney from ESPN joins us now on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line to talk about that and more. Buster, it always seems like crazy things are happening when you come on with us, but thank you for the time, nevertheless.
Well, the last time was before the Braves won the World Series. I wish it could, have a horizon quite as good as that one, that's for sure.
And it was crazy because you were one of the few, Buster, that said the Braves were going to go all the way. You hit the nail on the head.
And I will do it again, the true confession. I also had them losing in the first round of the Brewers. After that, I got it right, okay? I was knocked down once, but I picked myself up.
Well, you know what that's like? That's like a suicide pool where you can throw the money back in, and I'm back in. I live another
You week. Learned your lesson. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So it looks like baseball hasn't learned any lessons at all. How long do you see this thing going on?
You know, I was doing on ESPN last night. We had a baseball tonight as we went around that deadline. And in the midst of that, I got a text message from a longtime agent who said that he sent a note to his clients saying, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Valentine's Day, Happy Easter, and I'll talk to you around next Flag Day. In other words, that's June 14th. He's very pessimistic. You know, some voices I heard around that were similar in terms of the pessimism. You hope that cooler heads prevail. I think they're two, you know, if you wanted to try to identify sort of the soft underbellies of the two sides. On the owner's side, there's a lot of concern about these regional sports networks and how much money they're losing and trying to sell tickets during the off season. Obviously, the longer that a labor stoppage goes on, the more vulnerable the player side is. You would hope that that there could be motivation somewhere within that realm. But these two sides, in terms of the working collaborative relationship, it's the worst that I've ever seen. And I can't sit here and tell you, yes, this person or this leader or this corner of this side is going to be the one or the group that steps out and makes change. I'm super pessimistic.
All right. Quick answer. Did both sides need to put out statements as quickly as they did? Because obviously they were written. They just had to hit send. Do you like the idea that both sides had to put out, well, let me tell you what the other guy's all about? Why do we have to do that minute one?
Well, they're both trying to, especially in this world of social media, they're both trying to get ahead and try to cast the other side as being the evil, force in this. And that's why they did this. Unfortunately, what I have found to be, very different than, 1994, 95 and other labor situations is there's just not that much talk going on. I don't see and hear about much collaboration, cooperation, ideas being swapped back and forth, spitballing, this is how it works for you, this is how it works for me. It does feel like there's more attention paid to PR.
Okay, so is there anything they're actually close on? Because we're going to get to what they're not. But is there anything that would only take a little amount of time to say, tabled, we're good on that?
Universal DH, I don't think there's any question that's going to happen. And while the players balked last spring at expanded playoffs, I think it's inevitable that that's part of the whatever agreement they come up with.
14 or 12?
I think it'll be 14. I think that's a priority for Major League Baseball. And if they get through the other major issues, then they'll monetize in their deal with the players something to get the 14 teams.
What are they furthest apart on?
All of the financial issues. Look, the seeds of this come from the fact that the players got destroyed in the last CBA negotiations in 2016. They lost a ton of financial ground. Their part of the pie has steadily shrunk since then. Their middle class has been absolutely wrecked since then, and they're trying to get back that ground in this labor negotiation. And you know, the owners have one vision of how they can find some middle ground, and the players have very different issues that they're trying to focus on. I thought Jeff Passan hit it right on a couple weeks ago when he wrote about this, that it feels like one side is talking Spanish and the other side is talking French.
Well, I think it speaks volumes, Buster. You've been around this game a long time. For you to say this is as bad as you have seen it, there you understand why some are saying June, as far as a possibility, this thing lasting that long.
Yeah. you know, and I, as I say, I wish, you know, a lot of times we get into the labor situations as we did in 2002, and, you know, you could see the points of contention coming up, but then you felt like, you know what, here's the group of players who are going to, you know, lead change to change. I can't identify that for you. I feel like that, you know, on the owner's side, you know, they have a distinct view of how things could happen. And the players just have a completely different vision. And I think there's disagreement on the player's side about how to get to what they want to get to help the middle class. You know, I wrote about it in a piece that's on ESPN.com, where Seth Levinson, longtime agent, basically said that he thinks that, you know, the proposal Major League Baseball put forward to create a floor for a lot of these tanking teams, the Orioles and the Pirates maybe being the most prominent current example, he feels like that's a really good way to get, potentially, to get some of the middle class paid. The leadership of the union doesn't have that. There's a lot of concern among a lot of veteran agents about some of the, you know, some of the decisions being made at the top of the union. But I don't see how that, you know, that those differences are going to be changed to the point that we're going to see, you know, other people emerge at the top of the union food chain. I just don't.
Should Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, the problem I think I have is it doesn't seem like there's a fan voice in that room. And the fact that he works directly for owners, isn't there maybe supposed to be another job? Shouldn't the commissioner be above that? And maybe the guy who's the mouthpiece shouldn't be the commissioner of baseball. It should be the guy that we all openly, socially acknowledge that he works for the owners. It shouldn't be the commissioner. Why is there not one more level on their side?
Well, if they did have that job, that person would be absolutely powerless. It really is no different than any company where you've got, you know, labor on one side with their leadership, and you have the owners on the other side, management with their leadership. I think the difference is that I think for casual fans, they think of Rob Manfred being quote unquote the commissioner of baseball. No, he's not. He's a lawyer for the owners.
Exactly.
And he's not much more than that. Which and you know, there's not going to be someone who's going to step up for the owner or for the fans. That's why I'm absolutely fascinated by, you know, this is the first time baseball's had a labor stoppage since the advent of significant social media, and I'm really curious about that, how that manifests. You know, both sides, I think, have potential gains through social media. Both sides, I think, you know, they're going to have to deal with some stuff that they probably have never had to deal with in the past.
Buster Olney from ESPN with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. When and if this thing works itself out, how do you feel about Freddie Freeman coming back to Atlanta?
Yeah, I think he's going to wind up back there. I know there have been rumblings about the Dodgers getting involved. On the face of it, I just – Andrew Freeman, who runs the Dodgers, you know, investing a huge contract in a 32-year-old player is not something that he would do typically. You know, the Yankees, you know, in theory, could certainly use Freddie, like a lot of teams could. But the Yankees are trying to save their financial ammunition for Aaron Judge. So I'm skeptical that they would step out in a big way. You know, one of the big questions is whether or not the impasse, it all changes Freddie's perspective. And only, you know, he knows that, and I haven't talked to him, changes his perspective on playing for the Braves. Does, you know, the frustration begin to build to the point where, and you know Freddie, I mean, Freddie's made all the money in the world that he needs, and if he just decides, look, I want to play in a place where I'm most comfortable, and all this leads to some unhappiness on his part, where he's like, you know what, I'll go play for less money for the Angels or some other team or the Dodgers. I don't know if he's to that point, but that's one of the questions I have about the negotiation. I'm surprised the Braves haven't taken it off the board because he's a legacy player. It feels like in the numbers we've heard that there potentially could be some middle ground I mean, my God, find it. Especially right after the Braves, came up with the, won the championship, made more money, and the fact that they've got a couple of their key guys under contract early in their careers, and Acuna and Albies, at team-friendly rates.
Do you think Boston might get in?
I don't. Their head of baseball operations is Chaim Bloom, who came mm-hmm. from the Tampa Bay Rays. Paying a player that kind of dollars at first base in his early 30s runs completely counter to, the analytic world on how they view that. And that's not to say anything about Freddie as a player. That's where those teams and the teams run. I mean, look at the Dodgers. They use about eight different guys at first base every year. Max Muncy, Cody Bellinger, other infielders. They cycle through a bunch. The Rays do that as well. I don't see the Red Sox doing that. And on top of that, their top pick from 2 years ago, Cassis, is a first baseman. Their top prospect is a first baseman. So the idea that they're going to give huge dollars to a first baseman, I'm skeptical. I could be wrong. All it takes is one executive to step out of conventional wisdom and to make that deal, but I have my doubts.
How unfair is this statement? And let me preface it with, if I was going to drop any guy in my clubhouse in all of baseball, any guy, it's Max Scherzer. I'm taking Max Scherzer. I want him in my clubhouse before anybody else. But he's on this committee of eight or whatever the hell it is, and he was talking a little bit. When you sign a $130 million deal, is it unfair of me to say he's got to pull himself off that committee?
No. If you look at the I don't think it's necessarily unfair, but I would tell you that, the history of the union is, and this, that they feel like that they need to get the most prominent players involved. Johnny Bench, Tom Glavine, David Cone, really important players, some of the high-profile guys to have leadership. I am really curious to see as we go along here, because as this has played out the last 6 years, it's the middle class among the players that has absolutely gotten gouged. Their average free agent contract has dropped from $11.8 million in 2014 to almost half of that, $6.2 million in 2020. And I've wondered, as this is playing out and the middle class grows, how they're going to feel on one hand where, Max Scherzer goes out and gets $130 million. And on the other hand, you see, five dozen middle-class players get hammered. How that conversation is going to be within the union about who exactly is the system working for?
Do you think the arbitration years change at all when all is said and done?
I do not. And that's something that the union proposed. They want to reduce from 2+ years to 2 years. The answer they got back from the owners was, look, we can't sell that to our small market teams. As I say, the union's perspective is they can get those middle-class players paid more if you pay younger players more money. They feel like that'll help. There are some agents who believe it's better if you created those floors that we talked about where you compel teams like the Pirates, the Orioles, the Indians to spend at least $100 million in payroll.
All right, Buster, let's hope that cooler heads do prevail.
I can't believe
I'm saying that about baseball because most likely it's not going to happen, but a man can dream over the holidays, can't he?
Did you say Flag Day?
Yes, he did.
I did say Flag Day. That was the text message that I got, which was beyond what I was thinking. I was thinking, an agreement in later in March, but the more people I talk to, we go through that whole conversation. Okay, who is going to be the mechanic of change? And it's hard to find that person. It's hard to identify that person.
All right. Real quick. Do you play poker? Have you played poker?
Yes.
Okay. Who's the only person who knows what your hand is? You, right?
Okay.
You're the only person who knows what you have in your hand. What's the owner's hand? What's the player's hand? Because I know the players are going to make it sound like they got a full house. They might have a pair of threes when all is said and done. What do you think the hand is? What's the owner's hand? What's the player's hand?
Well, the owner's hand, the player's hand is the fact that they are the game, right? They are it's not like you can go out and find a bunch of more workers who can do what Freddie Freeman does or do what they, you know, what Tom Glavine did back in the day. They are the game, and they also, I think, probably will have more of an ability to foster sentiment on their side on social media. On the owner's side, ultimately, their biggest hammer is the fact that they own the game. And it's funny you use the poker comparison. I've compared this showdown to with the players on one side of the table and the owners on the other side to neighborhood poker game, where one of the players, and that being the player, or one of the players in the game, that being the Players Association, has a stack of chips worth $20. And on the other side, you've got the other neighbor who's got a pile of chips worth $1,000. The long game in the end, if it goes on, the owners are going to win that. If we get into midsummer, if we get into late in the year, and we still don't have resolution, at some point, the fact that the players, or excuse me, the owners have more access to wealth will work on their end.
All right, Buster, we'll see how it plays itself out, and we'll talk about it certainly in the not-too-distant future. Have a great holiday season. We'll talk soon. As always, we thank you for the time.
Fingers crossed, guys.
Same here. Buster Olney with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.